Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. It's this blessing that makes this beatitude so unique. The idea of peace among people is not unique to the New Testament. That's in the Old Testament. But sons of God, that's unique. That's a new promise. You're not going to see that in the Old Testament. Most people, I think, hear that promise that you will be called sons of God and think, well, that's not all that spectacular. That doesn't, you know, doesn't really grip me. And I think part of that is because we live in a culture that thinks that all people are children of God. We're all God's children. Universal fatherhood of God, universal brotherhood of man, you've heard of that. And most people, I think that way. They think that all people are God's children. They're not. Most people are not God's children. The Bible never says all people are God's children. In fact, now most people are Satan's children. And not only is everybody not God's children, but not even Old Testament saints were considered God's sons and daughters. Sonship is a kind of relationship with God that goes beyond, deeper, more profound, more significant than even the relationship of people like Daniel or David or Enoch or Moses or Abraham enjoyed with God. They were not called sons. Israel as a nation was considered God's son in one sense, but not the individual people. That's new. When Jesus came along and first started saying, "My Father," that was scandalous. That's one of the reasons they killed him. They considered it blasphemy. They considered it a claim to deity. Nobody could just say, "My Father." They say, "Our Father," but not "My Father," in that kind of personal father-son relationship. And so they were very upset with Jesus for saying that, which didn't deter Jesus. He kept on saying it. In fact, did you know that that's the only way Jesus ever referred to God? It was always Father, except for when he's quoting Old Testament scripture. Every reference to God out of Jesus' mouth is Father. They understood that Jesus was claiming a relationship with God that went far beyond anything known in the Old Testament that any Old Testament saint ever knew. And then when Jesus preached this sermon, he preaches the Sermon on the Mount, and he says that the citizens of the kingdom will all be sons of God like that. Everybody, the whole kingdom, will have that sort of relationship with God. In the Old Testament, God commanded the people to refer to him primarily as Yahweh. That's the name that he gave. He said, "This is my name. This is the way I want you to talk about me and refer to me and address me." It was an awesome, very mysterious name calculated to evoke fear and awe and remind them of their responsibilities under the covenant. That name, Yahweh, appears almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It's so important. You know how many times it appears in the New Testament? Zero. Not once. When Jesus taught us to pray, he gave us a new name for God, a new way to refer to God. It's not Yahweh anymore. When he taught us to pray, he said, "Don't start." He didn't say, "Start with dear Yahweh," or "dear God," or "dear Jesus," even, or "dear King." It's "our Father." Our Father. That's how we're to refer to God. That's the New Testament name for God, for his people. The Old Testament language about God was filled with constant warnings to keep your distance. Keep your distance from this dangerous, holy God. In the kingdom of the Messiah, we're invited over and over to do what? To draw near with boldness to his throne as his children. Like children running to their dad. That kind of access. And please don't think of that as a reduction in our view of God. It's not. It's the fearful, awesome, staggering reality of the dangerous, fearsome holiness of God remains. That's still there. In fact, that's the very thing that makes adoption such an amazing thing. That makes our access to God so astonishing. You know, a lot of people understand, oh, God is approachable now. But they don't appreciate the significance of that because they don't understand how utterly unapproachable he ought to be. We will never appreciate sonship until we tremble before God as the holy, dangerous sovereign whose anger causes earth to crack open and swallow up his enemies and fire to come down from heaven. Sonship means little to us, I think, very often because we forget that naturally we're not sons. We're enemies of God. So the fear part still remains. New Testament speaks extensively about fearing God. God is just as awesome now as he ever was. Nothing is changed there, but something new has been added. And that something new is the foundation of our whole understanding for God in the New Testament. I'm going to read you a quotation from J.I. Packer. He says, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to merely Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for God." One final observation about this blessing. Please notice the word called. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." Later on, it's significant, because later on, Jesus said, when he said, "Love your enemies," because God loves his enemies, he says, "Do that so that you may be the sons of God." That is, act like the sons of God. But that's not the emphasis here. The emphasis here is on the calling, being called sons. You're going to be called sons. By whom? Who's going to call you that? Who's going to call you that? The world? Is that the typical way the world refers to us? Sons of God? I don't know about you. I've never been called a son of God by the world. I've been called lots of things by the world. But not that. That is not a typical way of the world referring to Christians. This is not talking about the world. It's what they call a divine passive. It's talking about you're going to be called sons of God by God. He'll call you that. He'll call you my son, my daughter. On Judgment Day, when God sets everything right, to those people who imagined that they had God's approval while they were really rejecting God's way, he's going to say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And to everyone who mocked Christians, mistreated Christians, laughed at Christians, persecuted Christians, God will put his giant arm around you and pull you close and say, "Guess what? This is my son, my daughter," and he will acknowledge you, and he won't be ashamed to do that. He will call us his children, if we're peacemakers.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.